Dear Father, in this Advent season, we focus our thoughts once again on the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we need help, Holy Spirit, help to do so. In the noise and commercialism and secular environment that so easily distracts from that focus, may our service this morning be a means of grace to that end. We thank you for pulpit and table. Open our ears, hearts, and lives to receive your goodness and encouragement this morning. And so we pray for our congregation. We pray for those who need an extra portion of your nearness, encouragement, and comforting. We think of Kobi Jonker as she is at the threshold between her earthly life and eternal life. We thank you for who she is, for her faith in her Good Shepherd. Be with her and Roland and her family in the hours ahead. We pray for Alice, for Dirk. Will you make things well when he goes for surgery this week? For all those among us who face health issues, we think too of Alice van Diemter. Will you give that she may recover? We think of those who face struggles. And we thank you this morning for Pat's complete surgery and ask that you will grant her steady and complete recovery. We remember also those who recently moved, Homer and Pearl and Sybil, and it's not always so easy to be uprooted and replanted, as it were. We thank you for friends, for caregivers, for a community that can not only pray, but also act for each other. We pray for those who are in our faith community who have sometimes unspoken, deeply personal issues. You know their names, Lord, and we know that even as we pray for them this morning, you hear and answer. You know those who are lonely, those who doubt, those who worry about a family member or a friend, and we know too, Lord, nothing human is foreign to you. Touch our lives with your grace. We pray for our council. We especially thank you for the service of our past chair of council at Taminga. Bless him and Angela. Keep them too in your care. We love and appreciate them. And thank you for the willingness of Jane to assume duties as elder and chair of council. Grant her energy and love as she works with us and for us. Bless council as it meets this week. May your Spirit grant wisdom as they lead your people here at Fellowship. And thank you, Lord, for all the work that is done from week to week by a faithful staff and many volunteers. We thank you for their talents, their dedication. And Lord, we pray for our community and our worlds. May the true meaning of the Advent season manage to somehow shine through and reach the hearts of those who hunger and thirst for meaning and direction in this often very confusing, tumultuous world. Bless the work of outreach. Bless Mark as he connects with our community. Bless the work of evangelists, missionaries, all those who with word and deed seek to reveal the beauty and wonder of the Emmanuel, God with us. We remember those who suffer in our world for the sake of that gospel. A word of hope that addresses those caught into hopelessness and repetitive sinful patterns of injustice and oppression. May your word bring true freedom and shalom, your peace, as it leads to the Prince of Peace, whose coming we celebrate again this morning. So surround us with your goodness. Hear us in his name. Amen. Before our scripture reading, we want to confess together in the words of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 14, question 35. Yes, it's on the screen. I'll read the question, and together, if in unison, you would read the answer. What does it mean that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? The verses 26 through 35. If you want to. 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." We read over that fairly fast. It just says, an angel appeared and said, "Hello, greetings." Can you imagine that? How Mary must have felt? No wonder you read in the next verse, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. As far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as you know, of course, we are in the Advent season again. A week later than we had hoped, admittedly, but still, Advent. A season which, in the deepest sense of the word, is one that is unique to Christianity. A season which makes the very uniqueness of the Christian religion stand out clearly, very sharply. For you know the basic difference between Christianity and every other world religion is this, that God has become man. That the high God, the creator of the universe, of all things, our final judge, became man. In all other religions, people try to somehow climb up to God, to be worthy to be with him, whether it is by observing rules or commandments, by good works or by sacrifices or whatever. Only Christianity says, God visited his people and became one of them. Quite apart from any work or merit or accomplishment on our part. The Bible says we turned everyone to his or her own way. But God, being rich in mercy, sought us out while we were yet sinners and offered us peace in Christ Jesus. That is the central, the unique theme message of the Bible. God, the Son of God, becomes man, emptying himself of his heavenly glory, takes on human nature. And he does it, gets stranger still, he does it so that he will die. take his place on our cross. It is a mystery of God manifest in the flesh. It's no wonder that many people, even people who consider themselves Orthodox, have denied this miracle. And always the question of Mother Mary, the question we read together this morning, returns. How can this be? How is it possible that the eternal Son of God takes on the form of a fertilized egg in the womb of Mother Mary and starts a journey that will include dirty diapers, hunger, pain, all things human? How is it possible that he who knows all things increases in stature and knowledge with God and man, as you read in the gospel? How is it possible that the one who is the living water says, I thirst? How can it be that the eternal one dies? These questions always return since the earliest centuries, believers and unbelievers have struggled with those questions. After centuries of waiting, watching, hoping for God's salvation, this is what we get. Who can understand it? Who can fathom it? My word, who can believe it? It's no wonder that the Bible says, that it was an offense to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. A mystery, truly, way more mysterious than how earphones come on and off. And we can't solve that mystery. We believe it with all our heart, and yet you and I cannot go beyond the words of that beautiful medieval hymn, "Come and stand amazed, you people. See how God is reconciled. See his plan of love accomplished. See his gift, his newborn child. Look at it. See the mighty, weak and tender. See the Word. He now lies mute. See the sovereign without splendor. See the fullness destitute. The beloved whom we covet, in a state of low repute." A complete mystery, a miracle. And all of his subsequent life on earth is equally mysterious and miraculous. And yet that miracle is the lifeblood of our soul. It is what it is to be a Christian. God has totally taken our side, my side. He has become Emmanuel, one of us. Now, we're sometimes tempted to say that something is impossible from a human point of view. It's impossible to love your enemies. It's impossible to forgive or forget certain things. It's impossible for a sinner to arrive in heaven in one piece. But what is impossible for sinful human beings is possible for God. For God's Son became man and took our place. And what a miracle that Jesus did not say, "Father, I'm going to have a hard time forgiving George. He's a sex offender. I don't mind forgiving Henry, but George..." Or that Jesus would say, "Father, I've got one foot out the door already to go to earth, but I am so struck by Henrietta down there because, I notice she is such a cold person, always criticizing, always making trouble with family, friends in her church community. Well, maybe not today, Father." Or that he would have said, "Father, if people would just look a little bit guiltier and show that they need to live out of my grace, it'd be so much easier. But I just know that they're going to be too busy judging others to have time for receiving the grace that they need for themselves. How's it about taking another look at it, say, in 100 or 200 years, Father? It's a miracle that he came at all. What a miracle that he became our brother, living among us, learning a trade, going to church, synagogue, knowing poverty and hardship, seeing the needs and sins of real people, seeing how hard the Roman soldiers could be, and how greedy tax collectors were, experiencing the pride of the Pharisees, as well as young people wasting their lives in material pursuit, losing their honor, hearing people bless and curse, speak their prayers and tell their lies. He lived with all people. He lived with you and me. There's only one point of difference. Catechism drew our attention to it again this morning. Surrounded by sin, but that sin never entered his life or his soul. What a miracle. A sinless one living among us. It's hard to imagine, hard to believe. And what an additional miracle that he hung in there, literally, persevered. Miracle of miracles that he was willing to die for me. Miracle of a holy God descending into an unholy world, my unholy world, your unholy world. Jesus who came and has to transform, change our hearts. Doesn't mean my neighbors first of all, no. My heart. Your own life. Do you feel that? Do you believe that? Is that what you're watching, waiting, and hoping is all about? Jesus didn't come for fine, upstanding churchgoers or to forgive fashionable sins that you can talk about with your children, in front of your children. He came for stinkers like me and like you. Sinners. Sinners. He came to take on my flesh and your flesh to bring me back to God. And then the good news is that no sin, no sorrow, no care is so great that he can't deal with it, that he can't accept us, forgive us, heal us. God's miracle for our life, free for the asking. He has sympathy, having known human sorrow, having wept at the grave of a close friend. He knows us in our sadness, in mourning, in temptation, having been tempted in all things like you and me. He came to help, rescue, and above all to forgive sin, to root out the cause of all misery. Do you believe that for yourself this Advent? Jesus can't help you. He can do nothing for you if you don't know, if you don't acknowledge that you are imperfect, a sinner. Not your neighbor, you. Confessing before God, Lord, I long, I watch, I wait for your salvation. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And then you receive the glorious answer, my daughter, my son, I heard you already before you cried out to me, and I answered. And in this dark world I came and I sought you in Jesus Christ, and in and through him you may hear. Your sins are forgiven. We celebrate it again this morning. The glory of Advent. God seeks and saves real people like you and me, making us new so that we may sing about the mystery of God's love. O Lord Jesus, God incarnate, who assumed this humble form, counsel me and let my wishes to your perfect will conform. Light of life, Dispel my darkness. Let your frailty strengthen me. Let your weakness give me boldness. Let your burden set me free. Let your sadness give me gladness. And let your death be life for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. That you came, became one of us. That this Christmas season and this Advent, we may again remember and believe all our sins forgiven for the sake of the one who said, "Come unto me, for I have life, and I will give it abundantly for the asking." Thank you, Lord. Amen.